You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this season of Lent, let us behold the man. Are you familiar with that phrase from the Bible? Think about what it says there in John chapter 19. The Bible records that Jesus had been arrested, and then Pilate ordered Jesus to be flogged, to be greatly mistreated, and then he was clothed in a purple robe, a crown of thorns was put on his head, he was brought out before the people, and then Pilate said to the people, pointing to Jesus, "Behold the man." For Pilate and for the others who were there, they simply saw a man that looked weak and helpless and brutally beaten at that point. He did not look to be the Son of God, but in fact he was. Think about Jesus, just like us, he had skin and bones, he had a heart and lungs, fingers and toes, a mouth and a stomach. So when we think about looking upon him, we are beholding a man. Thinking about him further, he had a heartbeat and breath. He walked and talked. He prayed and ate. He laughed and cried. So again, behold the man. As we think about ourselves, Jesus is like us in that he was tempted, but he is unlike us in that he had no sin. The Bible makes that very clear. He is the only one who was ever tempted and yet did not sin. Think about the first Adam. He was tempted to eat from the forbidden tree, and yet he did eat. And when he ate, not only did he fall, but the Bible says that he brought the rest of the human race down with him. In other words, all who would ever live as human beings, they all came down at that time. But then think about our Lord Jesus Christ, how he was baptized. The Bible says he was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was tempted by the devil, very hungry, tempted to turn the stones into bread, and yet he did not fall. He lived instead as our sinless substitute. So important that where the first Adam failed and that brought us all down, Jesus, the second Adam, he prevailed. He won then, and ultimately he won on the cross when he took away the sin of the world. As we come to our text today, we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 6. So we're in a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which covers Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. We're in about the middle of it. And with the section today, we're going to take a look at the topics of giving to the needy, of praying, and of fasting. Going right to verse 1 of the text, the Bible says, this is Jesus talking, again, part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness," in other words, your right behavior, "before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, when we hear that, we might think right away, oh, Jesus is trying to tell us that we are to give to the needy. But that's not the idea that he's trying to emphasize here, because when we come to all three topics, when it comes to giving to the needy, when it comes to praying, when it comes to fasting, he always says when you do it. He never says if you do it. He always says when you do it. So he is assuming, he is implying that everyone is going to do those three things. So what he's trying to do with all three of them, he's trying to say, hey guys, I want you to get the greatest benefit here. So if you go about these things in such a way that other people know that you're doing them, giving to the needy, praying, fasting, if you go about them so that other people know, then other people knowing, that becomes your reward. But Jesus is saying, hey, I love you so much, I want you to get the greatest benefit here. So the way to get the greatest benefit is to do all three of them in complete secret. So when you give to the needy, don't tell anyone. When you pray, do it in secret behind closed doors. When you fast, do it in such a way that nobody even knows that you're fasting. So he's saying, do it in secret, and then God our Father in heaven, who knows all things, he will know that we are doing such things, and then he himself will give us a reward. So you have to weigh it out and say, what would I rather have here? Would I rather tell you guys what I'm doing, and you knowing that becomes my reward, or would I rather go to door number two and think about God, my Father in heaven, giving me a reward? I'm taking a guess here and saying, I bet that the Almighty God could give me a better reward than you guys could give me. So that's what Jesus is trying to say in a sense. He wants us to have the best, and that would come from our Heavenly Father. The emphasis here is to go about our giving to the needy then in such a way that other people do not know. Always people will be needy, so God is saying, hey, take a look at what I have given to you. I've given you an abundance, so pass on some of that to others and do so in secret. He's also trying to encourage us to do the giving to the needy by offering the reward. Again, though, we're not talking here about a salvation issue at all. We know that we have fallen short. We know we can't fix it. We know that only in Jesus do we have salvation. So these are not salvation issues. These are simply the best ways to proceed as those who are the forgiven children of God in Jesus Christ. And then going on to the topic of praying, Jesus said something similar. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So he said, when you do it, don't do it like a hypocrite. Now, if I called anybody a hypocrite today, that would be a pretty negative thing to say about them or to them, wouldn't it? Isn't that term carry a very negative connotation? I believe it does. However, though, to be a hypocrite is not a bad word when it comes to the times of the Bible. So back in the time of Jesus, if people were called a hypocrite, that simply meant they were called an actor or a pretender. So someone who, let's say, made his living working at a place where they put on plays, so the person is one kind of a person in public, but then he pretends to be another person when he puts on the play, his position is that of a hypocrite, of an actor, of a pretender. So what Jesus is doing here, he's simply saying, when people are out on the street corner and they are praying, what they're doing is they're putting on a show. What they're doing is they are pretending to talk to God, their Father in heaven, but in fact they're not. They're doing it simply to try to get your attention and to say, hey, look at how good that guy is. Look how wonderful it is that he's praying out there in public. Jesus is saying, don't do it for that reason. Don't do it to attract the attention of others. Rather, do it in secret, and God, our Father in heaven, who sees in secret, will reward us. Also, there's one other thing here I want to pick up on. So Jesus said to pray to your Father. Pray to your Father. I believe the standard biblical model is that when we pray, we are praying to our Father in heaven. We're doing so through our Lord Jesus Christ, who took away the sin of the world, and we are also doing so with the help of the Holy Spirit. So prayers are Trinitarian, and again, to the Father, through the Son, with the help of the Spirit. But is that the only kind of a prayer we can pray? By no means. We can pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you so much for coming down and putting on human flesh and living for me and taking away my sins." So we can talk to Jesus in our prayers. We can also, let's say we're getting ready to open the Bible, and we can pray, "Dear Holy Spirit, as I come to God's holy word, I pray that you would fill me up. I pray that you would give me understanding of what I'm about to read, and I pray that you would give me the power to put it into practice in my life." So that would be a prayer to the Holy Spirit. So there are ways we can talk to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. But the standard prayer, though, for example, with the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," talking to the Father. So the standard prayer is talking to God our Father through Jesus, again, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Going on to the topic of fasting, I want to pick up in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So again, don't be an actor, don't be a pretender, don't go around telling people, "Oh yes, I'm giving up this, I'm giving that," and now they're going to feel sorry for you. That becomes your reward right there. But rather do it in secret. Even if your stomach is like crying out with hunger pains, you're to have a smile on your face and act like everything is fine, showing on the outside, even though on the inside you're thinking, "Boy, I sure could use some food in my stomach." That's how God is calling us to function. When we think about fasting, though, let's understand that fasting is not required. Any fasting that anyone requires today, that is a man-made fasting. If we choose to fast, there's nothing wrong with that, but it is not a requirement. But again, though, go back to what Jesus said. He said, "When you fast." So he's implying that people do such a thing. And let's understand, too, that there are benefits to our physical body when we fast. If we don't eat food for a period of time, then our body has to somehow survive, and it begins to consume some of the toxins in our body when we are fasting. So it can be a physically healthy thing to do. But more important, though, if we choose to fast, so let's say we're not going to eat a particular food, or let's say we're not going to eat for a particular period of time. If we choose to do that, and then we're thinking about the food that we're missing out on, or we're thinking about, "Oh, I'm hungry and I really want something to eat," what that should do then is it should direct us to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should remember who he is, God in human flesh. We should remember what he did in order to live for us and then to receive our sins, to receive our punishment. And when we begin to think in that way, then the fasting is doing what it should be doing. So it shouldn't make us feel sorry for ourselves, but again, it should direct us to Christ and make us so thankful for who he is and what he did in order to take away our sins. I want to talk about fasting a little bit more here. Even though it might seem abnormal to us, it was normal for Jesus and normal for many other people as well, even though in 21st century America, not so normal. For example, this coming Sunday, we are going to talk about what I mentioned earlier with Jesus going out into the wilderness and fasting, completely fasting, for 40 days and 40 nights. So if we choose to skip one meal, what is that in comparison to 40 days and 40 nights? And then, going further, the German word for Lent is pronounced Fastenzeit. Fastenzeit. What does that mean? It means fasting time. So the very word Lent in German means fasting time. So the implication is that that is a time to fast. Again, not required, but it can have both physical and also spiritual benefits for those who choose to do so. As we think about the Lord's Supper and our preparation for the Lord's Supper, Dr. Luther wrote, "Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. There's nothing in the Bible that says you need to fast before you receive the Lord's Supper. However, though, it can be a good thing. It can help us focus on who Jesus is, what he has done, what we are receiving, our need for what we are receiving, and the benefits of what we are receiving. So it can be a good thing. Going further, Dr. Luther also wrote, "It is right to fast frequently in order to subdue and control the body." When we think about our bodies, especially when we think about what's going on the inside, most things function automatically. So we're not controlling our heart rate or many of our internal organs, but there are some things we can control with our bodies. For example, we can control our breathing. Some people do what is called tactical breathing. So if they get into a stressful, difficult time, there's a certain way that you can control your breathing. And when you do that, it can relieve the stress and it can have a really good effect upon a person. So tactical breathing, that is one thing we can choose to control at times. Another thing we can choose to control is what we consume into our bodies regarding food. So when we say no to food, we are learning to discipline ourselves, and that can be a healthy thing in many ways. And by disciplining ourselves with breathing or with food, that can lead to discipline in other areas of our lives, which can also be a helpful thing. Luther also wrote regarding the answer to the question, what is fasting? He put it this way: true fasting consists in the disciplining and restraining of your body, which pertains not only to eating, drinking, and sleeping, but also to your leisure, your pleasure, and to everything that may delight your body. So fasting can be giving up some kind of food or drink, but it can also be saying no to other various things in life. The idea overall, though, is if you would choose to do any of it, which none of it is required, if you don't do it, it's not a sin, but if you would choose to do any such thing, you do it, and you do it without anyone else knowing about it, and then we get to receive a reward from our Father in heaven. What exactly that means, I can't tell you, but it's going to be some kind of a great blessing that God wants us to want, and we can do it in secret and see what God has for us. As I conclude today, let's think about Jesus during this Lenten season. Let us behold him as a man who has the physical attributes that we do. Let us remember that he lived a perfect life for us, that he endured great pain for us, and he did it because he loves us, and he did it to take away our sins. And then let me conclude with one long statement here that's a way to summarize the three things I talked about today. So regarding giving to the needy, praying, and fasting. So regarding giving to the needy, let us do so remembering that we are managers of what we have. We are not owners. Managers, not owners. Let us pray in secret, believing that doing so will be powerful for others and also beneficial for us. And then regarding fasting, let us also fast in secret, knowing that God will use such fasting to bless us both in body and in soul. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, our God in human flesh, We thank you so much for your victory over sin, death, and the devil. We thank you for your great teaching, even as you taught us today. And we thank you for the great example in which you lived. Let us know that by following your example, that does not save us, but by your finished work and the God-given faith we have in you, help us to know that we have God's forgiveness, and then power us that we might follow your example unto God's glory. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.